I don't know about you, but I get nervous when someone uses my phone. It doesn't matter what they're using it for. It's just low-level anxiety on my part because almost every sensitive thing I have can be accessed with that phone. From my bank information to government correspondence to like 10,000 pictures of my kid. It's all there. And that's probably true for you as well. So imagine then, waking up one day and discovering that even though your phone is still right there next to you, all the data inside it, all of the passwords and authentication and all your media are gone. They've been stolen by someone on the other side of the world who's now got your identity despite never getting their actual hands on your machine. So your phone no longer works. So you check your email and there's someone in there waiting for you. And they tell you they've got your phone now. They want money, or else. And then they start locking you out of your own apps, one by one by one. And they start sending you your own pictures and threatening to send them elsewhere. What do you do now? I'm Jordan Heath Rawlings. This is The Big Story. Ritesh Kotak is a cybersecurity expert. He's consulted with businesses, institutions, and police services around the world. Hey, Ritesh, how's it going?
Excellent. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you so much for coming in. I guess, can you just explain what phone porting or SIM swapping actually is?
Yes. So what phone porting is simply me taking my phone number and going to another carrier. So traditionally, what we've seen is you might have a phone with carrier A, and then carrier B has this really amazing new plan. It could be more data or more minutes, or it's cheaper. And you say, you know what? I really want to switch from carrier A to carrier B. So what you do is you port your number over, and this is something that's not really new, but has been something that's starting to be offered by some of these carriers a couple years ago. And the reason that it started to be offered was carriers had a hold on individuals because you had their phone number.
Right. And if you got to switch, you got to switch numbers too, and that sucks.
Which is a pain because everything is connected to our mobile numbers now. So, for example, two-factor authentication, we might be giving our phone numbers to our friends and family and we don't want to give them another number. Mm-hmm. We filled out applications with our phone numbers on it as well. So if you got to change your number, the consequences of changing your number could be quite great. So what carriers wanted to do was make it easier for you to switch from carrier to carrier and keep your phone number, to keep your digital identity. And by doing this, the process essentially is called phone porting.
The reason we wanted to talk to you today is because the way you just described is the way it's supposed to work. How do bad actors use it?
So again, whenever you have a technology that's been created, especially for convenience, and this is why it was created with probably the most noble intentions, and that's convenience for consumers. But at the same time, the same technology could essentially be weaponized against members of the community. And that's what we're starting to see with phone porting, where bad actors are doing essentially this idea of SIM swapping or phone porting without your consent to a device that they own. So essentially, they're taking control over, for me personally, one of the most personal things I have, and that's my telephone number, my personal mobile cell phone number, and taking control of it. And there's not a lot of mechanisms in place to essentially stop it and prevent it. And once it's gone, once you've lost your number, reclaiming it and reclaiming essentially your digital identity becomes that much more difficult and is a real pain.
So how does it look like? What do they do?
So there's several things that they can do. The first thing that they can do is, again, this doesn't need to be super high tech. This could be super low tech as well. If you wanted to change your number, what do? You can go into a mall, you can go to a kiosk, you can go to one of the carriers, and you can say, I want to change my phone number. I want to switch to, I'm currently with carrier A, and I want to go to carrier, and I want to come to your company. for whatever reason.
Right.
And the process is actually relatively simple, where they'll literally go into a computer and say, okay, no problem. We will port your phone number over. It might take a couple days. There might be a little bit of service interruption. You show them some ID to verify that it's you. Mm-hmm. And that's it. And the phone porting process starts immediately. So essentially, that is the easiest way to port a phone number over. There are other ways as well where people have called into carriers. And they've called into carriers and they've essentially social engineered their way into making the person on the other line believe that they're somebody else, essentially the person with the number. And the way they do that is through an act called spoofing. And what spoofing is imagine me calling you right now, but I'm calling you with not my phone number, even though I'm using my phone or I'm using a VoIP line, which is voice over internet protocol. Mm-hmm. So essentially a computer. And I'm sending you this call, but the caller ID or the number that's displayed is a completely different number. And we've seen fraud with respect to people pretending to be government agencies or police agencies. But imagine if I use that same idea, that same concept to call a carrier and I use your phone number that I've been able to obtain. Now, as I'm calling the carrier, what's popping up on their screen is the phone number that I want to port.
Right. So it puts them in the mindset immediately of, oh, it really is Jordan. He's calling from that number.
It's immediate trust is mm-hmm. what happens here, is that trust all of a sudden is elevated. Because now what I got to do is authenticate in some other way. So can you please, if you've ever called in with your phone number, this has happened to me. They say, thank you for calling Mr. Kotak. Can you please verify your name and your address? Because the phone number has already populated that. So now it's relatively simple if you know what you're doing, if you're a fraudster or a hacker. And there's also open data of people's information that they're able to now culminate all this information and trick the other person on the other line to authenticate that, yes, I am this person, when in reality, you're not. And once you've authenticated, once you know that, once they feel convinced, now what you can do is say, well, I want to switch my number, or I want to change the account information on it. And you start going through that process. And once you've claimed somebody's digital identity, now you can do just a whole array of things to really cause problems and mess up somebody's digital life. So out of curiosity, when we talk about phone spoofing and just how easy it is to trick somebody, would you actually like to see a demonstration?
You're going
to
spoof me or call me from a spoof number?
I'm going to call you and make it seem like you're getting a call from, I don't know, who would you like, what number would you like to appear?
Make it seem like Pizza's calling me, just for fun.
Okay, so
you know that phone number. I will write down mine. I'm not saying my phone number on the air because enough people will like that. There you go.
All right. Well, let's put the phone number in and let's hope that this works. So I'm calling you from my phone. So here's the call. And what number has appeared?
The famous Pizza number is calling my cell phone.
How about you answer the call?
Okay. Hello.
Hi, this is Pizza calling. Your pepperoni pizza is ready for delivery. The only thing I need you to do is verify your social insurance number, your password, and your home address.
I just listened to a podcast about this, so I'm not going to do that. Goodbye.
And you can see with literally a couple clicks and a free app, just how simple it is to fool somebody. Now, again, we knew that this was happening, but imagine putting noise in the background. Imagine altering your voice a little bit. And you could really trick people. Now, if I called into a carrier using this type of technology, right off the bat, they would have my phone number or the spoof number, and they would actually believe that the number is real.
Give me some examples of what these people do once they've managed to port a number.
So once you've ported a number, once I have that phone number, it's what can I do? Well, there's a couple things I can do. For example, what do we actually use our number for now? We use it for two-factor authentication.
Yes.
So what is two-factor authentication? It's essentially when I log into a website, I put in my username, but I might say forgot password. I don't have my password. So I click on forget password, and what does it do? It sends you a text message mm-hmm. with a code. Well, that text message, if I have that phone number now, that text message is not going to you, rightful owner. It is coming to me, bad fraudster. And now that I have that number, I can put that into the portal. And with a couple of clicks, I change your password. I now got access to your email. Once I get access to your email, what are you using your email to authenticate with? Well, maybe your social media profiles. Mm-hmm. Now I got access to your social media profiles and I change your password and I change the phone number used to log in. You also have sensitive information on there. You might be using backup drives, online drives. There's a lot of popular ones out there where your photos might be automatically synced to these yes. to these drives. Your videos might automatically be synced. So now I got access to your emails. I got access to your profiles. I got access to your phone number and I got access to all your pictures and videos. Now what I can do is essentially one of two things. And the most common thing that people will do with this type of data is they're going to come and try to extort you. I might say, we got this video of you, or I was able to get this private photograph of you. Mm-hmm. And if you want your identity back, it's going to cost you 2 Bitcoins, 3 Bitcoins. And the rest, it just keeps ballooning from there. So it gets very difficult then to reclaim your identity back. So once we've crossed that line, once we've gone over it, kind of getting our digital identity back becomes that much more difficult.
What is typically the first sign or one of the first signs that somebody is trying to do this to you?
So what you might see is activity on your account. So you might see, for example, emails coming in that somebody tried to access your account. You might also see login information coming in to your email as well. If you have it properly set up, if there's any login that might happen from an IP address or a computer that you haven't previously logged in from, there might be a notification. There might also be notifications with respect to the system, because remember, these fraudsters don't need to be in geography is not a barrier anymore. Mm-hmm. They can be essentially anywhere in the world. So you might also see these logins coming from, or potential logins coming from, essentially across the world. So those are kind of like the first signs that something fishy might be going on. Doesn't necessarily mean phone porting. Maybe they're just going in and saying, forgot password, or they're trying to what's called brute force into your account, or try to guess your password. Or say forget password, and then you have a bunch of security questions or mm-hmm. challenge questions. And if you make those challenge questions really easy to guess, what was my first car? And there's a picture of you saying, hey, take a look at my first car on Facebook.
Right.
Hackers will be, and fraudsters will be able to piece two and two together and kind of guess their way into your account. The most common one that I see is, what's my mother's maiden name?
Of course.
Please do not ever give your mother's maiden name as a security challenge question. You might have, again, on your social media profile, the name listed. You might identify or tag your mother in a photograph and then at my parents' house or at my grandparents' house. And obviously the name there would be the maiden name. There's also potential court records and other databases where the maiden name might actually be listed, mm-hmm. Which is relatively easy for fraudsters and hackers to come by. But you see these types of questions. And then once hackers and fraudsters are able to infiltrate your account, then you'll start seeing things such as, I'm not able to log into my accounts anymore. Phone calls have stopped. I'm not getting text messages. You might see alerts from other apps, for example, messaging apps, that's saying phone has been changed, or can you please verify a new device? So you start seeing these alerts popping up, and then you try to call your number, and imagine that feeling in the pit of your stomach when somebody else picks up.
So, oh, man, yeah.
Which has happened as well. So it's not just with the snap of a finger, it's been ported and all your accounts and everything is gone. You'll start seeing some signs, some activities here and there, and you need to act as quickly as possible to ensure you're able to regain your digital identity and keep your telephone number, which is used for so many different things today.
What's your first step then? The carrier, the police?
So again, if there is extortion, if there's fraud, filing a report with the police service, there's a Canadian Anti-Fraud Center. Those are all viable options. To me, my first step would be to call the carrier, to call my service provider and say, there's something fishy going on here and I need help. And they will have people on staff who can look up if your phone's being ported, mechanisms in place. There's probably call history and logs that are available that they can sort of try to investigate and piece these different pieces of the puzzle together to know, oh, actually something fishy is going on here and you might be a victim of illegal phone porting or even identity theft. And that kind of then balloons into secondary steps of what needs to be done to either stop the process or for you to regain your digital identity back.
How difficult is that once it's been stolen? Like, what's the process of kind of reclaiming? You've painted a picture of so many accounts in so many places that this information can grant access to.
Unfortunately, it is extremely difficult to gain access back and to reverse the process. And the reason for that is because our lives are so digitally connected to these apps, to these platforms. We use our phone for just about everything. Imagine what would happen if you've not only lost your device and you don't have access to that phone number for days, if not weeks.
I mean, it's an intimate part of our lives now. Like, there's no doubt about it.
This is a part of our identity now, right? It's a part of our, not only our digital identity, but also our physical identity. Our entire lives are on these devices. Like, just if I lose my phone, the pictures that I have on it, the videos that I have on it, all the memories that I have on it, that is very important to me and very intimate to me. And losing that would be devastating to most people. And I think that is why fraudsters are really prey on individuals, because they know how valuable this type of data is to them, and people will pay for it. And unfortunately, that's the situation, and people get victimized as a result of it. And this can happen to anybody. Mm-hmm. This could happen to me. There's not enough mechanisms in place to prevent something like this from happening. There's a lot of work being done, but again, there's not enough mechanisms in place. And as a result, people will get victimized and continue to be victimized.
What kind of mechanisms could be in place that would actually help nip this at the start of the process?
So it's one thing to call a carrier or to call a platform and say, I have a question about my account, or I want to change my plan. Or you might see a plan where you have unlimited data or something that you really want. That's a great deal. And you give them a call and you say, I need to change this. Okay. So I kind of want to break this down in threshold. That to me is a lower threshold of verifying identity.
Right.
Again, it's important, but if I want to port a phone number, I would think that the mechanisms and steps in place, that it's a higher bar and a higher threshold because of the consequences if it's done wrong. So mm-hmm. there needs to be more, again, much, much better ways of verifying identity. So how would you do that is the question. Here's the simplest way to do that. I call a carrier. I want to port my phone number. This is my phone number. Now, they might have spoofed the number as well, which we discussed earlier. Okay, thank you, Mr. Kotak. Not a problem. We're going to hang up and call you back.
Hmm.
Just making that step alone will solve the problem.
Because, really?
Absolutely, because if it's a spoof number, it's me calling with through my cell phone or through my VoIP line, making it look like it's your phone number. So if I call that number back, my cell phone will ring. And if that person can pick up and verify that, yes, I've authorized this phone porting to happen, that in itself should be a signal. So that's probably the simplest way to prevent this. It's not that we need to invest millions or billions of dollars. Just some common sense policies here would in itself probably prevent the bulk of this from happening. There is another element of it as well. As we said, we can walk into a kiosk at a mall and say, I want to switch carriers. And are the people at those kiosks actually trained to, again, verify identity? How do you know that identity is not fraudulent? How do you know that?
Right. And those people are incentivized, I guess, to get that switch, right? Like, you want that person to switch over to your company.
Absolutely.
You want to believe them.
Absolutely. And it's business for you. It's a sale. And you want to get the sale. But in the process, are you not putting the same scrutiny on verifying the individual's identity, especially because of the risks that are associated with it? So having a period before that phone number actually gets ported, where additional mechanisms are put in place, where there's additional verification, more scrutiny. Again, calling that number and having the person verify that, just an FYI, we are porting your number on this date. We want to verify that all the information is accurate. And unless you get that verification, don't port it.
Right.
It's as simple as that. There are more technical solutions as well that are being discussed, especially in the United States. We're seeing some of the stuff and some of these discussions in Canada, and that's again through a mechanism of preventing phone spoofing from social engineering, tricking the person on the other line that you are who you are.
Well, you've worked with law enforcement agencies. How prepared are they to deal with this kind of crime, and how quickly do they need to adapt?
When it comes to the enforcement aspect of it, not only this crime, but just digital crime in general, Pandora's box has been opened, and there's an influx of these types of incidences. So what you've seen is, before we had physical crime, where it's really easy to pinpoint an individual or do it's actually very difficult, but to actually do a physical investigation. But now that physical investigation has gone digital, it's gone virtual, it's in the cyber world, where victims and fraudsters could be located anywhere in the world, where they can hide behind VPNs, virtual private networks, masking their virtual address, which is an IP address compared to a physical address. And they can essentially use technologies to make it very difficult for law enforcement to catch these individuals. Also, the payment mechanism. It's not, meet me at the park at 6 p.m. for further instructions, and there's a note that says, leave the bag of money behind the bench. No, it's done through cryptocurrency, decentralized currency that's almost impossible to trace. And it's done through, and that's done by purpose. And the reason that's done is the anonymity. Is now I can be anonymous. I can be behind the virtual shield, essentially, the virtual cloak. So similar to Harry Potter, you just throw a cloak on and you disappear.
Yeah.
Well, this is exactly that. And I'm disappearing virtually.
And once the Bitcoin's gone, it's gone.
It's gone. Good luck tracing it and getting it back.
So the best thing to do is just be aware for any strange logins from anywhere.
The best thing to do is, unfortunately, there is no high-tech
solution. You have to wait
till
it happens and try to catch it right away.
Anytime there's something suspicious going on and you start getting those alerts right away, I would contact the carrier. Now, even carriers are aware that this is happening, and they are taking certain steps to protect their clients, their consumers, such as, again, calling the consumer, but again, it's a hit and miss.
Well, it's all a race, right? Like, these guys, as soon as we have a new verification process, they're going to be trying to get behind that.
It is a race, and it's also whack-a-mole. So I might be able to take one element or one type of hack or fraud component down, but three new components pop up that I never thought of before. And this is what we're dealing with in the social cyber digital world, and what we need to get a lot more nimble at dealing with. This is not something that we need to continue to commission reports and continuously research, because the fraudsters don't play by the same rules. They got a hack, they're gonna exploit it. So organizations need to figure out a way that where we can be a lot more agile and deploy mechanisms to protect consumers, to protect individuals, especially for something as intimate as cell phones and your digital identity.
Thanks so much for helping us explain this.
Well, thank you so much for having me.
Ritesh Kotak, cybersecurity expert. That was The Big Story. If you want more from us, you can head to thebigstorypodcast.ca. You can also find us on Twitter at TheBigStoryFPN. And of course, everywhere you get podcasts, especially on your phone, we're right there. Apple, Google, Stitcher, Spotify, doesn't matter. You can find us, rate, review, 5 stars, the whole deal. Thanks for listening. I'm Jordan Heath-Rawlings. We'll talk tomorrow.